Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Aloha, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. And my goodness, welcome to the month of August. How could it be? I feel like once we hit August, the calendar just picks up pace. Am I right? So this month, I've got back to school on my mind, parenting, preparing my heart and your hearts and our kids for the school year ahead. So we're going to touch on a number of things. I'm really excited for some great interviews and some fun stuff this month. But before we get into back to school, today we're going to talk about the little years, what it's like to have babies, toddlers, even up through those early elementary years, kids in the house. And I invited someone on who I think you're just going to love. Lindsay Minma has the Instagram account and website called Treehouse Schoolhouse, and she creates beautiful things, and she has great ideas, and she's going to share a lot of them today. But I think that if you haven't already discovered her and followed her, you're just going to love the things she shares, and hopefully you'll be inspired to find creative ways to make your days with little ones more interesting and rich and full and happy. So can't wait to share this interview with all of you. And then, like I said, the next few weeks, we're going to touch on more back to school topics. So please continue to spread the word about this podcast to your friends, and this episode in particular to your friends with little ones. A great way to do that is to just take a screenshot on your phone of this episode and share it to your stories on Instagram or Facebook. And please, if you do, tag me on Instagram. I'm at @MonicaSwanson_. I love to reshare those if you do. So now, without further ado, here's Lindsay from Treehouse Schoolhouse and I talking about making the most of the little years. I hope you're encouraged. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Monica. This is going to be such a great conversation.
It is indeed. I've been anticipating it. As I said to you before I hit record, you and I have different gifts. You're going to bring to the table some of the things that have challenged me the most, that I've confessed are not my strengths. So I can't wait to share this conversation. Before we dive in, could you just give a brief introduction to who you are, where you are, and a little about your family?
Sure thing. So my name is Lindsay. I live in North Carolina, somewhere between the beach and the mountains. And so in a short drive, we can get to both, which I love. Ooh. I originally came from Florida. So when we moved up here, I said, I have to be able to get to the beach. But I do love hikes and I love an outdoor lifestyle. And so I do feel like the climate here is really great for that. We intentionally wanted to live here for homeschooling. So we have a rich homeschool community here and it's just, we could get more property here. So we love to have space for our kids to run around outside and host a lot of parties and things like that. So we recently built a house. My husband is a contractor and we built a house from the ground up, designed it. And so we're living in a construction zone still as we're finishing it on our own. But we have four children. Our youngest is 4 and our oldest is 11. And I've had a passion for home education for many, many years, even before I was a parent, because I was in full-time children's ministry. I was in full-time missions work for children, worked with a lot of children overseas, and just fell in love with educating children. And so then I became a full-time nanny that turned into a homeschool teacher position. And so I was homeschooling before I was a mom, and I took my ministry background and my education background, and I said, you know what? I want to homeschool my children, and I would love to share resources that I create with the world. So as I was developing resources for my babies, I was putting them in a format to share with the world, and now I've built a team. My sister-in-law and I have been working together since the beginning. So I write everything and she designs everything. And then we have a full team. So we have a warehouse, we have a shop, and it's become this amazing, beautiful, complex thing where I homeschool and I run a business. So that's kind of where
we're at. What a dream. What a dream. Wow. I love that. That is so cool. So is your sister-in-law an artist? I mean, you have beautiful stuff out there.
She's not. We do work with a watercolor illustrator on some of our art. Other things that we've done, she's just really creative with finding public domain pieces of vintage illustrations and piecing them together. Yeah. So honestly, she just figured it out along the way, like many business owners. I said, I have a vision. I really want to use, you know, these pieces that look like they're from vintage encyclopedias. And we just did the research and figured it out. But along the way, we have hired multiple illustrators and now it's become much bigger of an ordeal. But for the first few years, it was just her and I with our little children running around us sitting at the kitchen table going, let's do this. Let's make this happen. So it's
Isn't
crazy.
That so much fun, especially to work with someone you love.
Oh,
that
yes.
So
and cool. To look back and say, can you believe that we like did all of that work and our prize was like, you know, $50 that we would be able to say like, we get to buy lunch and coffee today. Yay. And now it's like this major thing supporting families and it's really beautiful.
Incredible. Yes, I have developed a little bit of a team myself, but everyone is far apart from one another. And in fact, one person I work with every day, Leanne, who is actually probably the main force behind having you on. She kept saying, you have to have Lindsay on, you have to have Lindsay on, but we've never even met in person. And so I crave that, being able to work right alongside somebody. And normally I do this at the end of a broadcast, but right now, I'd love for you to just share with people your Instagram feed and where else they can find you, because goodness, you have such beautiful stuff. So your name wouldn't necessarily lead people. Well, it would if they know your full name, but tell people where they can find you. Super fun.
Sure. So treehouseschoolhouse.com. Mm-hmm. And you can remember the whimsical treehouse nature loving girl. That's how my name got started, because I just thought, you know, homeschooling should be outside and should, you know, be about imagination and play. And so treehouseschoolhouse.com. You can also find me on Instagram at treehouse_schoolhouse.
Yeah. And you have some of the best stuff on there. So
thank
everyone,
you.
I give you all permission to pause and go look her up. You're going to be following and loving everything that she has to share. So there's so many directions we could go. I love talking about your business and having all these kids at home while you're launching this business and trying to maintain it and make it excellent. But mostly today, since this month, I'm talking about back to school, everything. Like I said, you bring to the table some things that I don't. I have homeschooled my four children since my oldest came home from first grade. So I sent the first three off to a private Christian preschool. The oldest was in first grade, came home one day and said, hey, Mom, would you homeschool me next year? And that's when everything changed for my family. And I share that story in my book, Becoming Homeschoolers. But that threw me, because I never in my life imagined being a homeschool mom. And so very different from your story, of course. But with that being said, when I brought him home the next year, I was homeschooling a second grader and a kindergartner, but I still put that third son in preschool. And then brought him home at kindergarten. 6.5 years later, I had my fourth son. And when he turned three, started him in part-time preschool. The first three boys actually enjoyed it. We lived in an area of the island that had a really sweet Christian preschool that I loved. The fourth son, we had moved out kind of more to the country where we live now on the north shore of Oahu. And he actually just hated his preschool. And I confess in my book that looking back now, I feel kind of bad, because I think I justified, I was busy. I was trying to homeschool the older. I'd started my own blog and was writing and doing all these things. And I told myself, oh, it's good for him. He'll learn some socialization. I don't know what I told myself. This is like, but he hated it. And I look back and I'm like, you know what? I think I was a little bit selfish there. And probably keeping him home would have been good for him and for me as well. I think that we all have those parts of our kids' lives that we fear. Like some people, it's teenagers. They're like, oh, I could never homeschool my teenager. Some, it's the little years. And for me, the chaos, the mess, all the things in those early years kind of freaked me out a little bit. So it was easier for me to send my kids to preschool. And for some people, it is a necessity, or it just is what they want to do. But I'm excited for you to talk about what you do with those little ones to actually give your life some rhythm and routine. And really, your days sound amazing, even though you've got four pretty young children. Mm-hmm. So that's where I want to go talking about. Let's start with the littles. How young are the younger two?
4 and 5.
4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've heard you talk probably back when they were a little bit younger as well about your days. You're working, you've got older kids. Maybe just give us some framework. What is your philosophy that has helped you with these younger kids, keeping them home all day when you're so busy?
Well, first of all, I do not do formal education until age 6. And so that takes a lot off of your plate because I think when your children are 3, 4, you start to get anxious. You know, I see a lot of people like, what do I need to be teaching them at age 3? What do I need to be teaching them at age 4? And when I first started my homeschool journey, I was just so excited. And I had, you know, I only had that age because they were my older children. And I wanted to replicate a preschool in my home. And so I had all the posters and I had all the workbooks and I had all the things. And it was like, I tried it and I'm like, this does not feel life-giving to me. It doesn't feel life-giving to them. And so I basically took it all down and I kind of had like a come to Jesus moment. And I'm like, what is this supposed to look like, Lord? And I started devouring blogs and I started reading books. And I remember a night I said to my husband, after the kids go to bed, I want to go up to the coffee shop. I need to sit with my journal and I need to just like hash out all these things that have been running through my head about what I believe about education. And I paused all of that stuff I was trying to do with them at age 3 and 4. And I just started like writing it down. I started writing down, what are the 5 main things that I need to focus on until they're age 6? And I came up with a framework that helped me center my days. So there's still some intention and still some structure to what we're doing every day until they're age 6, but it's not academics and it's not a checklist. So some of those things are, one of my goals for my children before age 6 is that they fall in love with really good books. So what that means is not just picking up any book from the library, but having intentional choices in the books that you bring in your home, because what you're doing is setting a stage and you're getting their appetite for good literature so that when they're 6 and you're finally pulling off the Charlotte Mason curriculums or you're getting that Ambleside online book list, you're like, oh, they already have an appetite for this type of book. They already have a habit of attention to sit for a long, maybe it's Peter Rabbit, but they have like, instead of just these, you know, highly illustrated cartoony books with 2 words on a page, like they're getting their appetite for these rich stories. And so that's the first one. And then the second one is just leaving a lot of space for creative, unstructured play. So open-ended play in those young years. And intentionally what that looks like for us is having a lot of margin in our schedule so that I'm not over-scheduling these young children. I'm not having them go from this play date to that play date. And that actually frees you up. And once they start knowing how to be bored and what to do with themselves, it's actually better for you and it's better for them. The other thing is having minimal screen time, having open-ended toys. All of these things really are an invitation for your child to learn how to play creatively and how to play in an unstructured, you're not structuring that play. And so that actually really lends itself well to homeschooling because there's going to be times where if you have multiple children that you're trying to work with one child and you need your other child to know how to go play. You need them to go find something to do so that you're not entertaining, you know, multiple children all day long, you will get burnt out. But to be able to say, this is my one-on-one time with this child, you guys need to go play. So training them in that. So in my head, as I was thinking through these things at the coffee shop, it was, what are the 5 main things I want to do to set them up for success? So when we sit down at age 6, they're already prepared for school and they've already gotten all of this beautiful early years, you know, childhood in these years, you know, these years that really matter. So another thing is really intentional training with habits. So that's one of those things that seems like so open and it's like, well, how do you do that? For me, it was like, I want my children to trust me and love me and will obey me. Like if I give them direction that we have a connected relationship. And so then they will trust my word and they know how to obey and not in authority kind of, you know, domineering way, but in a relationship where it's like, mommy's asking you to do this. And there's a reason I want you to trust mommy. Because when you're sitting down to school, people often will say like, I don't know how you get your child to do their schoolwork. Mm-hmm. And I'm always thinking, homeschooling is an extension of parenting.
Amen.
If you don't already have an established order in your home, an established relationship, an established connection, expectations, homeschooling could be a complete challenge. Like,
yep.
But mm-hmm. I can honestly tell you that I've never really had my child just buck and fight the system and say, like, I'm not going to do my schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Because one, we try to create an atmosphere where it's inviting and fun and engaging, mm-hmm. but also because they know that that's not an acceptable answer in our home.
Right.
Just like,
I think that's so good.
You know, and yeah. I think this is like a taboo thing to talk about, but it shouldn't be because this is how God has created family.
Yes.
There is
absolutely.
Leader.
In fact,
there is order.
Yes.
And it's done in love, but there's still some structure to it. And so at these young ages, we are training them in obedience. We are training them in attention and in relationship with us. And so then the next one would be practical life skills. So I think at this young age, it's the mm-hmm. best time to get them in the kitchen, to get them learning how to care for their rooms, to how to care for their things, to not leave books all over the floor, on how to sweep and how to feed the cat and all of these things. And so we really focus on household chores and then just bringing them into everyday life. Bringing them into the kitchen, especially my husband is always doing house projects. So you will often find my 4 and 5 year olds following him around with the nails and helping mm-hmm. him and handing him things and learning how to do projects, changing light bulbs, and just teaching them these everyday skills. And really that's their sensory play too. So, you know, you see all these like sensory bins, which I'm not hating on them.
Right.
I very rarely, because when I had my older two, I thought they were really cool to do the beans and all the things. Have them do real things.
Real things.
So have them fill
sort
up your bird feeder.
Yeah.
Have them sort the silverware.
Yeah,
have them,
yeah.
you know, knead your sourdough bread. And so mm-hmm. bringing them into everyday life, making them feel important and connected to you and mm-hmm. connected to the greater purpose that is called your home. We have a lot of moving parts at our home with 2 businesses, with homeschooling, and just with the everyday stuff, with pets and cleaning and hosting. Have them help make a bed because you have grandma coming into town and talk to mm-hmm. them about why that's important, to make someone feel loved. Take them to the store to buy the ingredients to make the birthday cake because you love this person. You know, like bring them into life. And I think I'm not saying that, you know, them going to school is the wrong choice, like in preschool. But I just feel like there's so many missed opportunities without having a curriculum or a plan just to bring them into your life that they're learning so much just by going to the store with you or going to the post office and engaging them in those things, not just they're a tag along, but inviting them into your world.
Totally. And I just want to pause on that one because I want to speak to the mom out there who relates to how I felt. And like I said, I think there was some fear issues. And even so, we were pretty new living in Hawaii when my kids were young. And my husband was in residency and then starting off his job. So he was hardly around. And I didn't have much of a community, family, you know, many friends. And so I remember when they did go to preschool and through first grade for my oldest, being really anxious. I'm not an anxious person at all, but that's the word I would use to describe how I felt when summertime was coming, because I was like, oh my goodness, what will I do all day? And I mean, I remember sending them to probably 3 different VBSs. Like I was just like, how can I fill their days? But there was a shift. And this is for the mom out there who's thinking about homeschooling or maybe just keeping their young ones home. There was such a shift when we brought them home and started homeschooling, in that once you embrace that and everything you're sharing, I love so much. But once you decide that you're just going to be home, and there's like a shift that you can experience that is so beautiful and so surprising that I couldn't have anticipated. And I feel like my fear was making me miss out on something that I'm so glad ultimately, eventually, I got to experience. And that was the very picture you're describing of having kids involved in the whole day. And it didn't end up being scary. In fact, I always say I lost my temper less having kids home all day than I did in that 1 hour rush to get them out the door in the morning because we were on someone else's schedule. It was all the things we had to do, papers I had to sign, bags I had to pack. When we just were at ease on our own schedule and embraced that, it was just this whole new experience that I couldn't have anticipated. So I love what you're sharing. I also will just point out what you said about homeschooling as an extension of parenting. I love that because in my book, I talk about some of the reasons people don't homeschool. You know, whether some are reasonable and really good and should be considered. Others, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm calling your bluff, you know, yeah. Like giving some big sister love here, because people will say, well, I butt heads with my child, or I don't have the patience. And I'm like, that's a character issue that you need to grow in. That's not a homeschool issue. That's a parenting issue. And mm-hmm. I think that we all need to grow in character, and homeschooling might be a great way to do that. So for me, I think I was avoiding growing in some character issues when my kids were young, and I missed out on some of those years that could have been really great. So thank you. And sorry to jump in, but I just love everything you're sharing. Yeah. So
no, I carry completely on agree with you. Yeah. No, the last one is just time outside. And so, you know, that's a priority for all ages, but mm-hmm. especially those younger years. And if you're starting mm-hmm. at 3 years old, having them inside, either in a classroom or in your home, thinking that you're doing the right mm-hmm. thing by making them sit there and do workbooks or what have you, they're missing out on yep. so much time outside. Mm-hmm. And what yeah. outside can bring a child, I mean, so many benefits of being outside. And so in every stage that we have in our different homes that we've lived, one of my top priorities was, how can we have a safe outdoor area so that my younger mm-hmm. kids can be outside while we're still doing school even? Yep. Or is there mm-hmm. an area outside that we can bring our schoolwork so that the younger ones can be around me and around us, but being outside? And then just mm-hmm. prioritizing, if it's having a garden, if it's having little plants that they can take responsibility over themselves and watering them, if it's having a mud kitchen, which is one of our favorite things that we've had over the years.
Mud kitchen. Yeah. What's that look like?
Okay. So my dad built it. My dad and I built it. I kind of drew a plan out. We got an old sink from, you know, like a used place that they pulled out of a kitchen, and you put a sink in. It's just almost like a potting bench with a mm-hmm. sink in it. And so then we pull mm-hmm. a stump up to it, so even the 2-year-old can climb up there. And then we just went to the thrift store and got pots and pans and anything they can pour and dump, and sifters.
What?
And you just put all of this stuff in the mud kitchen. And then it's right by our little creek. So the girls go down there and they dig up mud and they make mud cakes and they pick flowers and they put them on top.
Okay.
And this you wins. Have to come see it, because I have a blog post on it and lots of pictures on my Instagram, because okay. it's just the most magical childhood. And it's just such a simple thing. And probably twice a year, we freshen it up by getting, you know, new things at Goodwill, or uh-huh. I'll go get some fresh plants.
Oh, endless.
It's just so many opportunities. And my, yes. my 9-year-old daughter now, who has lived in the mud kitchen for 5 or 6 years, has a mud kitchen recipe book that she's created. Like, it's a whole oh, yeah. culture.
Oh, I love that. To all of my homeschooling friends and those of you who are becoming homeschoolers, I'm excited to tell you about the math and science curriculum that all of my boys have used and loved. Head over to diveintomath.com to check out Shorman Math and Dive Science curriculums. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he does such a great job of offering a biblical and historical foundation in all of his classes, teaching the why of learning math. He brings biblical concepts into everything, and my boys have been inspired by Dr. Shorman on so many levels. Now, the diveintomath.com website offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself. Also, important to note, Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Guys, this is what your kids need to prepare for all of these standardized tests. Okay, so my boys love that Dr. Shorman taught short lessons, and it was a 4-day school week, and yet he packed in so much. They learned a ton, and it was efficient, so they could get on with doing all the other fun stuff they want to do. All right, so head over to diveintomath.com. Check out the math and science curriculums offered there. I think you're going to love them. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I just want to pause real quick to tell you about something very cool now available over at the Christian Parenting website. Okay, so there is the cutest little prayer journal. I'm looking at mine in front of me. It is called Marked by Prayer, and it is a weekly prayer journal for parents, and it will guide you through praying for your kids every week of the school year. Each week presents a new topic to journal and pray about. Topics include things like generosity, self-discipline, salvation, identity, godly friendships, and more. These are all the things we want our kids to be marked by, attributes that we want them to be marked by. Well, we are guided to pray for these things. And then there's a little section for journaling, some suggested scriptures. You guys, it's really, really good. So you can get your copy over at the website, cpgive.org. Again, the letter CP is in Christian Parenting, give.org. Request your school year prayer journal, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. And then something fun to go with that. If you want to listen to a podcast that is going through these guided prayers and a reflection, Pardon the Mess podcast each Monday is going to be doing that. Now, Pardon the Mess is an awesome podcast. It was Christian Parenting's like OG, their original podcast before the rest of us joined. And it's so good anyways. But on Mondays, they're going to be taking you through the guided prayer and reflection from this prayer journal. So definitely tune in to Pardon the Mess on Mondays. I think it's going to be so good. I can't wait for that. All right, friends, now we'll get back to today's conversation. I hope you enjoy. So how cold does it get in the winter there? We need to inspire some people here because I know some people tell me, oh, easy for you to say you live in Hawaii where you can be outside year round. What are your seasons like?
In the winter, it might get to be in the 30s. You know, it might snow here like once or twice a winter. It may have a light snow.
Okay. So it's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but we do have my favorite. It's very wet and we have red clay everywhere. And so for months on end, anything that goes outside comes in muddy. So that's more of a deterrent for me. But we ended up getting full mud suits and boots, and all the boots live on the back porch. Oh. And for like 4 or 5 months of the year, you don't go play outside unless you get your mud suit on and your boots. And
there
so
training
you just make
habits.
It happen.
I love that. Well, I grew up in Washington State, which I think has similar, where I grew up was is similar to where you live. And I tell people, I remember, I mean, it rained much of the year there. And I just remember, putting on the rain boots and bundling up year round. We were outside and we lived near some woods. And I think anytime you can let kids just use their imagination to create things, you've got the mud kitchen. I remember even, you know, creating everything from kitchens in the woods to an outhouse. I don't know why we decided we should create our own outhouse. And I remember making my older brother be the first to use it.
That's awesome.
Just like, so I think when kids are given an opportunity to use their imagination outdoors, incredible things happen. So I love all that so much.
Yeah. So in those early years, that's what we're focusing on until around age six. And of course, especially if you have older children, those younger children are curious about letters and numbers. They're, especially when you're reading to them all the time, they may start showing an interest in reading. And I never tell them, no, you can't learn to read. You're not six yet. But we just offer learning letters in a very gentle and organic way until that formal year. And so that might look like putting some salt in a little lunch tray and having them form letters with their finger in the salt, or shaping letters with Play-Doh, or let's go outside and collect pine cones and then we'll put them in groups of two and count them by twos. So we have a few things like that that we do around age 4 and 5, but nothing super formal until six. And that's been really freeing for me because if you're trying to juggle teaching someone how to read when it's too early, and so they're already fighting you on it, and you're trying to teach older children different things, it's just so much. So when I'm teaching my older children, my little children do have certain things that are like special school things. The Play-Doh, the kinetic sand, we'll have like dry erase boards and markers. If they're not in a place where they're going to run off and play, of course, we encourage unstructured play or play outside as the first things. But if they want to be in the room with us, I have a special cabinet of things that can come out on the table just for the younger kids during the time that I'm trying to read aloud or I'm trying to work with the older kids. And that works really, really well. Now, I will say that toddlers are just a complete tornado. like you can try everything. And I have lists for you and I have Amazon ideas for you, and I have a YouTube video for you. But I mean, they're unpredictable. One day they're napping at this time, the next day they're melting
down. And you have boys and girls, right?
I have two of each, yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And I have a sensory sensitive child, and I have two children with hearing loss, and we have all kinds of needs. So it's a wild house.
Okay, wait, can I jump in? Because I want to talk next about that when you're homeschooling the older kids, having the younger ones, just a little bit more about that. But one more thing I noted as you were chatting earlier was the first thing you said about falling in love with books. I believe you have a book list on your website. Is that right?
We have a lot of book lists, but we specifically have a book list of 100 picture books for the early years. So specifically for preschool and kindergarten, it takes you from toddler all the way up, you know, and so it's if you just read good books until age six, like that's all you really
exactly
need.
Yes, yes. I think I've actually linked to your book, that book list, in my email, my weekly email at some point, but I'll make sure to pull that up and put it in show notes as well.
Thanks.
But I totally agree. And I always say my older boys will tell me that some of their best memories of their early years were when I read aloud to them. And I always think back and think, oh, I didn't do very good at reading aloud. Yet that's what they remember. Mm-hmm. So I love to encourage parents to just do what you can, because they will treasure those memories for sure. Okay, so before we wrap up, obviously I could chat with you for a long time, but let's talk a little bit for the parents who do have kids that they're trying to homeschool, and then they've got the little ones. I do believe this is a big obstacle. A lot of people think, I can't homeschool my elementary kids because I'm going to have a baby, or I have a toddler, or a child with special needs. Give us some of your tips and tools, ways that you have made it work without losing your mind.
Yeah, I think it's been multiple things. So depending on the age, if you have a baby, really little baby, if you're like pregnant right now and you're stressing out, I just want to say that a small baby is actually a lot easier than a toddler. I was so stressed out and had planned to take all this time off when I had a baby, but unless your baby is crying all the time, we put the baby in a little bouncer, and one of my kids would bounce the baby with their foot while they were working on their schoolwork. Or, you know, I would wear the baby in the sling while I'm walking around and reading aloud. I have so many memories of holding a book and rocking the baby at the same time. Or I would have no plans to leave the house, because anytime that baby or toddler would take their nap, even if their nap schedule was unpredictable, as soon as I knew that baby was going down for a nap, I'd say, time to go to the school table. And we'd just do whatever school we could do while they were sleeping. Get your husband involved. Do read alouds at night. Reading aloud for a long period of time when you have a really noisy younger child is probably one of the most difficult things. And so for a season, we were just doing audiobooks instead of me reading, so I could deal with the toddler. We would have my husband read at night. You can get creative. Like, you have so much freedom to make it whatever your family needs, and to change the schedule, change the routine every few months if you need to, every week if you need to. One thing that really helps as they get a little bit older, maybe say 3, 4, 5, and they want to be involved, one thing that's really helped in our house so that they don't feel pushed aside all the time is to incorporate things in our homeschooling for them. And like I mentioned before, I'm not talking about laborious lessons. I'm talking about songs and picture books and crafts and themed snacks and things that go along with what my older children are learning, but structure our day in such a way. And what works for us is the first thing that we do every day is what we call morning time. And there's something for everyone. So we might start with a preschool hand rhyme about, you know, an owl. And then my older kids are studying birds of prey that week. So they're researching on their computers and writing papers, my 9 and 11 year olds, while my younger children are making an owl craft. And then we're all reading a picture book together about birds of prey. My little ones might not catch it all, but they're getting some. Then we're watching a YouTube video of bird calls. And so you're taking one theme, and you're saying, I can adapt this one thing for a 3-year-old all the way up to a middle schooler. And that is really how I've written all of our curriculum. It's family style because I have that problem, you know? And I wanted to see my 4- and 5-year-old feel connected to us as a family learning. And there's so much beauty in learning it together, because then later on you'll hear your kids bonding over the subject. And you'll hear them, you know, my older kids teaching my younger kids things that they learned about it and they're interested because we just read a picture book about it. Or we all go to a raptor center and look at the hawks, and the little kids remember, oh yeah, we watched that in the video. And so bringing them in as much as you can, we try to do family style learning for as many subjects as possible. And really only the leveled things like math is when my kids are kind of alone doing school.
Right. That is so cool. And I do think it just inspires that love of learning in the younger ones.
Absolutely.
So, oh, that is really great. Okay, so maybe on this topic, if you could just briefly walk us through what a day looks like, start to finish. I'm sure you could get real detailed, but just a quick sweep through your day and how that works with having little ones.
Sure. So right now, again, I have a 4, a 5, a 9, and 11, and it's always changing, but this is where we're at right now. I like to get up early, so I get up before my kids around 5:30 or 6. I might check in a little bit with my work. I also will spend some time alone reading the Bible. I like to take a morning walk. My husband actually does breakfast in this season of our life so that I can have some time alone in the morning. So he makes breakfast, and he leads our family devotions during breakfast. So I would say that our school day starts then around 7:30. All the kids are at the table, and sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm on my walk or doing my fitness or doing something for work, but that's kind of his time to start with them. So he's doing a Bible lesson. Then we break for about an hour and a half when I'm getting my day together and my kids are doing their morning chores. So they all have chore charts, and there are certain expectations they need to do in the morning before they can play. And then I'll call them to the school table around 9 or 9:30. During that time, I'm changing out of my workout clothes. I might be doing my makeup. I might be setting out our snack for school, things like that, throwing in a load of laundry, those morning mom things. I also like to pack their lunch first so that when lunchtime comes, we can quickly grab our lunch boxes. That helps our
day. I love this. So you actually use lunch boxes, right?
We do. They're just, you know, the little bento boxes, and I keep them in the fridge or whatever. Because I was finding that it was like a whole hour of a whole ordeal of pausing school and making lunch. And with having to work in the afternoon, that's just too much. If I had all day and I could go a lot slower, I would. But in this season, I'm trying to like keep things moving, you know. So we all gather around 9:30, and that's when we do morning time, which is what I was explaining. So everybody comes and we have a snack then. Snacks and music bring kids to the table. So we do our fun nature song, and everybody has something that they're doing for about an hour. We're reading books, we're doing videos, we're making projects. And then right after that, we break into independent work. So my older children have lists that they're working through every day, and they just bring their work to check in with me. And at that time, I'm actually transitioning my five-year-old, he's actually 6 next month, into first grade. And so we just started kind of working on a little more formal work. So I'm sitting one-on-one with my almost six-year-old, doing first grade. And my 4-year-old little girl is sitting next to us doing Play-Doh or a craft or something that she's pretty good at finding something to do while we're doing that, but she does like to be at the table. And so everybody's sort of doing their own thing for about an hour. And then we have a play break, maybe 15, 20 minutes, get outside, run around. And then I call everyone back in for lunch and read aloud. And I'm picking books that will appeal to my younger children and my older children. So it's a family read aloud time. And I actually created a curriculum around chapter books. So you read the book and then you go down rabbit trails with whatever the book presents. So you might be studying Native Americans or something in history, science. And so we might do a project with that or research something. My big kids will research while my younger kids are making a project. Same concept, family style learning. And so they're eating lunch while they're listening. We do that stuff. And then my younger kids run off to play, and I might sit with my older children on anything that they need a lot of help with. So that might be a math lesson that, you know, earlier they were struggling with, or might be writing a paper, any new skill we're trying to break in that, you know, they need some one-on-one. So we usually are wrapping up. The younger kids are absolutely free to go do whatever by, you know, lunchtime. And my older children, maybe 1:30, something like that. And then in the afternoon, my big kids are in the woods. They are playing piano. They are reading for fun. They're creating, they're crafting, they're working alongside my husband. They're in the kitchen and I'm either with them or I'm working, things like that. So that dinner, bedtime, read aloud at night, that's kind of our flow.
Amazing. Yes. And for those who are working moms, I like to just be real with people about how we handle things when we need to get work done. You have some help in the afternoon. Is that what I heard you say somewhere?
I do. Okay. So when I first started my business, I didn't. And I was working in nap time and margins and nighttime mm-hmm. and morning. And that's mm-hmm. kind of how a business starts, right?
Oh, yes.
And I was kind of drowning because I also had babies and all the things. But oh, yes. somehow I made it alive. And so along the way, we started hiring childcare maybe one afternoon a week. And then I wanted to develop a new curriculum. So I said, let's do two afternoons a week. And, you know, so now we're at a place where I have a part-time nanny who comes 4 days a week in the afternoon. And mm-hmm. she's there for about 4 hours in the afternoon, and she helps Perfect. With anything that I would be doing. So I'm at home and I'm kind of in and out of the kitchen and doing whatever I'm doing, but she's here to be with the kids. She's reading them stories. She might follow up with even a lesson that they didn't get finished in the morning. She's 30 years old, very capable, was homeschooled herself. So she fits there right in and can, you know, okay. do that. She also keeps things going like laundry and might start dinner. So
amazing.
That's not something what that every dream. Homeschool mom can do. And I definitely wouldn't no. if I wasn't working.
Right.
That's what I would be doing in the afternoons. But exactly. that's kind of, you yeah. know, I like to be open about that because people are like, how do you do it all? And I'm like, I don't.
Right.
My husband exactly. helps a lot. I have a paid help, and there's no mm-hmm. way I could run a full business and homeschool four children yeah. and get all this yeah. content out in the world if I didn't have help. So, yeah.
So true. No, I think that's really important to mention. And we've done all different kinds of creative things in different seasons. And I know some people do things like maybe share with a friend, maybe a day or two a week. You bring your friend's kids in so they can get something done, run errands, get mm-hmm. to doctor's appointments, get work done, and then you give them your kids. So there's a lot of creative ways. I always say where there's a will, there's a way. Absolutely. As long as it's God's will, he's going to provide what you need. If your motivations are to honor him and do what you feel called to do. Because somebody's going to ask, do you mind sharing which official curriculums you use for, say, math, science? You do your own science studies. Any curriculums that you use that you recommend?
Oh, man. I have a blog post for like every grade on okay. my blog, but I'll just okay. touch on a few. I mean, we do use a lot of what I've written. Our Bible curriculum I've written, it's called Rooted Bible Curriculum. Mm. Our nature study is really great for science, and we're just about to release an older years version for mm-hmm. upper elementary and middle school. So that okay. hasn't even been totally announced yet. So surprise, Treehouse Nature Study Intermediate Years is coming soon. So we have a primary years and an intermediate years, and that really is nature and science. And there's so much more tied in poetry and art study and lots of language arts. Mm-hmm. We use Beautiful Feet Books. If I was going to have to name one curriculum company that I would recommend, mm-hmm. it is literature based, and that's what I love everything. And it also spans a lot of ages. So like mm-hmm. I love family style learning, very rarely do I feel the need to individualize something with one child. And so for Beautiful Feet Books, I can pull in my younger children, my older children, and it's really reading. It's really comes down to great books. And if you, mm-hmm. the further along you go in your confidence as a homeschool parent, you might mm-hmm. find that really all you feel you need is really good books mm-hmm. and then the skills mm-hmm. to help children, you know, take the books and learn through them. So yeah. whether that be writing research papers or doing projects or going on field trips, the books are the spine of what we do. And so mm-hmm. I love Beautiful Feet Books. I also, if you feel overwhelmed by the idea of kind of like just creating stuff from books, if you need like a one-stop shop open and go, I would recommend My Father's World if you're a Christian homeschool parent. Mm-hmm. We have used My Father's World in the past a little bit in the younger years, like first grade, second grade, third grade. They have a really excellent World Changers curriculum that's biographies of Christian heroes around the world, learning about mm-hmm. world geography through heroes of the faith. That was one of our favorite years. But because I'm a creative and a curriculum developer, I can't just take something and use it. I had to do all kinds of stuff to it.
Of course you
and
do.
And pick it apart and add stuff to it. So, but I have all right. this information on my blog. I mean, if you are looking for specifically a certain grade, recommendations for really anything in the world of homeschooling, I've been blogging for 7 years and it's a very, very built out blog. So you'll find mm-hmm. a lot there.
Awesome. And I'm going to try to link to the main things that you mentioned over in my show notes as well. So, wow.
I also That's think we lot. Have a code for you. Is it Monica Swanson 15?
It could be.
Let me check. Monica Swanson Podcast 15, and you can get 15% off anything in the shop.
Monica Swanson Podcast 15.
Yes, ma'am.
15% off. There we go.
So that's a gift for you.
That's so helpful. Well, everything I've seen that you create is beautiful.
Thank you.
And so well done. You put the work in and it's really impressive. So I'm sure you'll have a lot of people rushing over there to have a look. And I'm going to say, whether or not you homeschool, I mean, this is stuff. I think one thing I shared of yours was your, do we call it an Advent study? It was a Christmas, kind of a unit study for Christmas time. And I'm like, you guys, if your kids are out of school and you want to keep them busy and learning and focused on the right thing over the holidays, also, I know you had a beautiful one at Lent. So these are great for school going kids as well as homeschooling. You just got to be creative. It might be a good thing to do in the evening. What do you call the holiday study?
A Connected Christmas. And then we also have a Connected Christmas around the world. So it's all about the cultures around the world and how they celebrate Christ.
Okay. How cool is that? Awesome. I love it. Well, again, there'll be lots of links over in show notes. And Lindsay, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your life and your work with all of us today. I know I'm inspired. It makes me want to have more kids.
And maybe keep you'll homeschool your grandkids.
Grow. maybe. Well, anyways, thanks so much for being here. God bless you. And we'll keep in touch.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And be sure to visit show notes to get all the links and any notes on what we talked about. And you can find show notes today at monicaswanson.com/treehouse-schoolhouse. All right, thank you so much for being here and for sharing this episode with your friends. And next week, not only do I have a great episode, but I also have a really fun announcement. So be sure to come back. And in the meantime, don't be a stranger. If you haven't tuned in yet, on Thursdays, I do Q&As on Instagram stories. So that's a great place to shoot me any random question you've got about anything that I talk about. So be sure to be following me and join my story Q&As on Thursdays. All right. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.